Capitol Repertory Theater in Albany, New York, is currently presenting the world premiere of Red Maple. The play was written by Capital Region veteran actor-writer David Bunce and was the runaway hit of the 2016 Next Act New Play Summit. Why is he chuckling when I said runaway hit? In this comedy set in the suburbs of Albany, everyone wants to know what's the matter with Robert. Since becoming an empty nester, the usually solid and dependable professor seems to be falling apart, just like the old red maple tree in the backyard. When friends get together for a cheer-em-up dinner, Robert announces he's had an epiphany that will rock the world of the stalwart suburban gang. Around the table, things get shaken and stirred as the cocktails and confessions flow, building to a hilarious crescendo when an unexpected guest shows up begging another question. Hey, guess who's coming to dinner? The Rep's production of Red Maple is directed by Margaret Hall, who joins us now with the playwright David Bunce. Margaret, David, thank you very much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Absolutely.
Appreciate having you both. All right. So let us talk about how this, what got you thinking in this sense to write this play at this time?
About 35 years of marriage at that time. 39 now. But a time in the relationship with my wife and I, my wife Patty and I, where kids were out of the house and we were sort of evaluating ourselves. And that was the initial impulse emotionally. And I would pass a giant Norway maple on my way to work every day that had half of the branches ripped away. So that got me thinking metaphorically. And then I just started writing about 4 years ago, started putting down some thoughts, and then it ran away at some point. I guess.
So much so that it was a runaway hit of the 2016 Next Act.
I guess.
Summit.
I
yeah.
guess.
So when the story, how many people, how does it work? How does it unfold?
It's two different couples, both empty nesters, both in their mid-50s. And I don't know. There's not much that's probably a surprise that I would be giving away. So
not in the first act, anyway.
That's true. So Robert is the fellow who got a DWI because he got in a car accident. And the two people who live in the condo, Karen and John, have invited Stephanie and Robert over to have a dinner and a sort of night of support for Robert. And then...
And nothing goes right.
Nothing goes right.
Things kind of fall apart from there. What I tried to do is write a five-character play that was just ridiculous and funny and fun for just about anybody who comes, but particularly those couples who would go home and 2 days later, one would turn to the other and go, so what'd you think of that play? Because they explore lots of secrets come out and lots of things about their relations come out that then get explored.
It's a great story for long-term relationships, whether you're married or not married, best friends, husband and wife, dating for a really long time. When something changes, something's removed from the relationship, in this case, children from both relationships, and you start evaluating where you are, where you have been, how close you are to each other, what kind of different paths you've walked down, and what's next on the table for you as a couple or a relationship.
So what's it like to direct a show like this?
A lot of fun, actually. It not only is it great to work on a new work with a playwright right in the room, which is not typical across the board. You have a Shakespeare play. He's not around. But David Bunce being in the room for the first time, hearing his words out loud, was able to help us with the actors go, oh, I don't like the way that sounds anymore. Or this question comes up here, and David's right there and can help us find it on its feet in the room, which is really great. It's also a lot of fun because, as he said, it's kind of absurd dealing with real situations through comedy. You know, not everybody loves to laugh at the hard stuff, or maybe everybody loves to laugh at the hard stuff. I don't know. But this lets you, and then lets you ask the questions afterwards, giggle through it, and then go, oh, that's actually very true. Let's talk about that.
Right. You know, one of my favorite comedians is Seinfeld in the Seinfeld show, where everybody just took a look at the ridiculous way we as humans face any issue.
Yeah.
So I tried to, it's not necessary that the situation in here is ridiculous, but the way people deal with it is, aren't we ridiculous, all of us, in some way?
One of the things about Seinfeld, though, is the people were sort of quintessentially mean.
Yes. Hopefully these people aren't mean.
I don't think
especially
they are.
With each other. But, you know, when somebody turns to somebody and saying, we'd been married for 30 years, and how could I not know blank
that.
About you?
Yeah.
It gets pretty crazy in that way.
So there's certainly a universal feel to it, isn't there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We got, after opening night, we got a terrific review, and the reviewer talked about sort of the dual nature of the play, where it's hilarious and yet there's moments of poignancy that really give you moments of pause and thought.
What were the reads like when you were going through it? What were those the discussions that you all would have?
Well, we had a lot of different discussions, actually. From his initial, when he submitted it to the 2017 summit, and it came through that, we took all the audience feedback and what all of our readers thought, which largely said it's hilarious and could use a little bit of a trim. So that there were a few, as David said throughout the rehearsal process, a few too many things in someone's basket that he would pull out and say, you know, I had this thought. It was funny at the time when I put it on the paper, but now looking at the actual trajectory of the storyline, that's not necessary. Or it muddies the thought here or the arc of somebody's character or the actual story, the plot. And so he would take some things out, tweak things, shorten things, tighten them. And I think that happened with every successive reading we had. We'd get a reading, a group of professional actors together. We'd hear it out loud. We'd talk in the room briefly. David would take the things that were discussed afterwards back to his home and a couple days later or a week or so later, send us a new script and say, hey, what do you think about this? Here are the things I tweaked.
Right. And the fun thing about this whole process, it started out right from the beginning. Thinking about my own life. And then as I kept developing it, I started to think about just borrowing things from friends and borrowing things from life. So we went through a wonderful 2-year development process with Margaret and with Maggie Cahill over at the Rep. And every time a question came up about could you work on this or could you work on that, I'd let it sit and within 24 hours, life would actually give me the answer of where to get next with something, literally.
Well, that's great.
I mean, at one point, there's something that somebody's doing in the play, and at one point Maggie said, I don't think you really have outlined in there why this person is doing this, and it would be good for the audience to know why this person is doing this. And this was about a month after I got laid off from Russell Sage College last June. And within 24 hours, I had the absolute answer for the play based in real life.
And you said you have you had feedback yet, audience talkbacks?
Not since the play opened.
Yeah.
No.
Right.
But we did do some talkback styled things with actors around private readings, around a table from a private reading at the Rep. And when it was in the Next Act New Play Summit, we always have audience feedback forms that they fill out so that we can actually go through in maybe more detail with the playwright. What the audience thought then in what might come up in 4 or 5 minutes after a play initially has happened.
Right. And being a comedy that people are really vocally responding to throughout the night, we get an awful lot of feedback that way, every performance.
That is very true.
And have there been times where you're like, oh, that's nice. That got more of a laugh than I thought it would.
Oh, there are jokes in there that I thought were too cheap to ever stay in there,
and
then there's some of the biggest laughs, and I go, really, that's the level we're at here. Okay, I'll do more of that.
So, but now it's done. Now you're not tinkering with it anymore.
Not for this production.
This production. You know, I read a copy of Michael Frayn's Noises Off last year that was an updated latest version last year, and he said, here's my latest tweaks. And that's a famous play that's 25 years old.
Yeah.
Has had numerous Broadway productions, has had films, and he's tweaking it 25 years later. Kind of a process that's never done, especially for comedy.
Yeah, well, and one of the things that's really great about a brand new play is that first audience gives the playwright a lot of information to take and then they can tweak and whatnot afterwards. Once we hit opening night for our actor's sanity, the play is locked, so to speak, so it stays the way it is as of opening night for that run. But David right. is more than happy to, should he want to,
I'm gonna keep looking.
Change
you know,
and
our
tweak.
Amazing and... stage manager, Melissa, every single night does a report about the performance and literally lists every line the audience laughed at or everything that happened in the play that the audience vocally responded to. So I could put all of these side by side and do like a data search of, you know, the number of times that line got a laugh within the run. It's incredible.
Margaret, tell us a little bit about the cast.
Oh, the cast is fantastic. We have a couple of local or veterans of Capitol Rep stage. Yvonne Perry, who's a local actress and has been on our boards a number of times. And Oliver Wadsworth, who's returning to us. He's been in a couple of other shows at Capitol Rep as well as a couple of newcomers for us, James Lloyd Reynolds, Elizabeth Meadows Rouse, and Julian Eitel. They are all fabulous comedic gems. They've really dove in and have brought David's work to life, and I think proffered some things for him to think about, certainly for me to think about as a director in the room. But they're just a delightful, wonderful group of people to work with and extremely talented.
They really are amazing, and they have brought dimension to these characters that I never even thought about when I was writing it. It's just
amazing. They're lovely.
Amazing.
So where, in this process, do you still, you go, how often do you go to see it?
It's funny because I was there all four performances last weekend because those were preview performances.
Yeah.
And then I went Tuesday night because that was the opening. And I've only been away from it for two nights, but I feel like I've been away from it for about a year.
Yeah. So is it curiosity that brings you back or?
It's been mostly paranoia and worry and anxiousness.
Seems like a much
things.
More honest answer. Yeah, so I understand that.
It was that. And my wife, who's been the biggest booster of this play in the history of the world, we have company coming into town every single weekend. So we have people, relatives, friends, who are going to the show every weekend and deciding for ourselves if we want to go see it when they're there. You know, so.
Well, Capitol Repertory Theater in Albany, New York presents the world premiere of Red Maple by David Bunce. It's directed by Margaret Hall through February 17th. For showtimes and ticket information, you can visit capitalrep.org, capitalrep.org. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. Red Maple is directed by Margaret Hall. The playwright is David Bunce. Thank you both for being with us. A great
Thank
pleasure
you.
Thanks so much.
On the program.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, more information at capitalrep.org or at wamc.org/roundtable.